Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, congratulations. We have nearly made it through one of the world's craziest years ever. And for that, we must be grateful. Absolutely thankful, because what else can you do? You know, when you've been a part of history, you can't be bitter. And so I really want you to focus on gratitude. It's the name of the game in today's episode. Now, that said, we do have crazier times ahead. And in a future episode coming very soon, I'm going to have my 10 biggest, wildest predictions for 2021. You're going to think I'm an absolute lunatic when you hear those. But until then, it's time to be thankful. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio and author of the book Unstoppable. This is the book that is written for these times. And you can get a free digital copy of the ebook or the audiobook at craiglikes.me/unstoppable. craiglikes.me/unstoppable. Or if you want a hard copy like I love to read, then go to beunstoppablebook.com. But today we are going to focus on gratitude, overcoming anxiety, being thankful, being persistent, and having great generosity. One of the tools that I use to get me through this, through these times, through any struggle in my life, is my gratitude journal that I created years ago. And we've sold tens of thousands of copies of this journal. You can get a copy of it at earlytorise.com/journal. And we're going to talk about that and the power of it, because it's so darn important. Again, it helped me through some of my toughest times. It's the prompts you need to be reminded of how, you know, simple and nice and comfortable your life probably still is, despite everything going on around us. Now, if you've never used my gratitude journal, I want to just go through some of the prompts that are in it. You see, it was years ago when I was suffering from some anxiety that I decided to come up and start this gratitude journal. I learned about it from my friends Yannick Silver and Vishen Lakhiani from mindvalley.com. And then Dan Sullivan, a strategic coach, he taught me a few things. And so, you know what, I liked what they were doing, but I wanted to create my own. And we're going to go through it first, and I'm going to teach you about the new gratitude journal that Michelle and I are using. Stimulates some really, really hard conversations sometimes, but it really deepens our relationship. I'm going to share you the prompts that are in that journal as well. Then I'll take you through my 11 out of 10 story. You may have seen me wearing those goofy 11 out of 10 t-shirts. We're soon going to be selling them to the world. They're really the mindset that we need to get through this. Now, first to my gratitude journal. First of all, I want to do is ask you to write down what I'm grateful for. By I mean you. So what are you grateful for? Write down a couple of things there. Then write down people who made a difference in your life today. Then write down what you learned. And then write down some achievements. And this is the thing that I stole from Dan Sullivan. He said what every parent should do is get children to be in the habit of writing down their achievements for the day so that they build that momentum and motivation. Then in my gratitude journal, I can't miss a little bit of planning. And so we say number one priority for tomorrow. And when you write down those things, you have a great reflection back on your day. And you're going to think, you know what? Today was a good day. It was a tough day. I earned my rewards. I fought some battles. I won some wars. I get it. We all have days like that. But I want you to understand that, and this goes with my 11 out of 10 mindset, is that there's a great quote from the Dalai Lama that I have inside my gratitude journal, and it goes like this: choose to be optimistic. It just feels better. Now, of course, as Admiral James Stockdale says, you can't ignore the brutal facts. You must confront them, but you can't lose hope in the long run that you are going to be victorious. So choose to be optimistic, even when things are dark and stormy. Now, I told you that I also got a new gratitude journal. We bought these from a department store here in Canada called Michaels. And it looks like on the back of it, it's from the Recollections collection. And it's a little journal. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 questions, 8 little prompts in this. And so what Michelle and I do is each night we have dinner. Daisy sits at our feet and tries to steal some food, but we don't let her. She's on a strict diet of raw duck. And so Daisy sits at our feet and doesn't, we're not eating raw duck. Michelle and I have our dinners. And then at the end of that, we do this journaling exercise. It takes about 10 minutes in total. And I will sit there with pen and the journal, and I will ask Michelle questions and she'll answer them and I'll write down her answers. And then we'll switch positions. So the very first question that we ask is, today I'm grateful for, and then there's 5 lines. So you must come up with 5 things that you are grateful for. Let me see what I put down recently. I put down, I'm trying to find my answer. Okay, so my health, my cuddling in the morning with Michelle in bed, we call, she's so warm in there, we call it the burrito. She's all wrapped up in these blankets. And then part time with Daisy, just watching my dog sprint. I'm so grateful for that. You know, if I was poor and broke and lived in the mountains, I'd have a dog and I'd throw a stick just to watch it run because it brings me so much joy. And then my clients who are smarter than me, I'm grateful for them. And I was grateful for my workout. So that was my answer to some of the things I was grateful for on November 8th of 2020. All very simple things, isn't it? I didn't say Porsche. I didn't say mansion. I didn't say, you know, trip to Bali. I said health and time with her and Daisy and my clients and my workout. Very lucky man I am. Now, the next question is, today I feel, and then you just write down a couple of things that you felt over that day. Some days I say grumpy because I'm a grumpy old guy sometimes. Some days I'm disappointed. Some days I'm happy. I get to talk to my mom on FaceTime or my sister. Sometimes I'm frustrated because maybe I've underperformed in some areas. So that's the second question. First one is, today I'm grateful for 5 things. Second one is, today I feel. And then the third question is, what I'm loving at the moment. What are you loving at the moment? I'll give you a little sneak peek about one of my guilty pleasures is, one I'm loving at the moment is season 5 of Modern Family. So Modern Family is a comedy. I think it just finished up its 11th season this year. We watch one episode, no more than 22 minutes of Netflix per night. And we watch one episode and we laugh. We laugh almost a full belly laugh every night. But I'm also loving the early sunsets. I'm loving our cozy little couch where we watch our TV. I'm loving our conversations with Michelle. I'm loving that I'm not getting up to an alarm in the morning. I recently moved my alarm later. And the funny thing is I'm actually getting up earlier because of the time change, I think. But the alarm is not waking me up, and therefore my blood pressure is not going up, you know, because that's what happens when you have an alarm. It's not good for you. So I'm grateful that I'm sleeping and not, and getting up still before my 4 o'clock a.m., what I used to get up at, but my alarm is set for 4:30, but I'm getting up naturally at 3:45. Now, the next question is, what are the relationships that you appreciate? And I could go on and on and on and on and on in here. I have 20 people inside this little box. And then the 5th question is, what's today's mantra or quote that got you through it? And not surprisingly, I pulled one out from Perfect Day Formula and I said, control what you can. Because, oh my goodness, there is so much going on in this world. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks your politics lie on. Doesn't matter what your beliefs about COVID are. We're all frustrated and we're getting divided. But I can't control what you think. And I can't control what my sister thinks. And I can't control what my grandma thinks. I can only control myself and my thoughts, words, and deeds. And I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to try and be my best self in every situation. And so that is my mantra. Next one, what was the best part of your day? For me, it was the afternoon dog park. We just got back from an amazing afternoon dog park session. And then dinner is always one of the highlights of my day. And also my team meeting. Every day I have a team meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. And it's always a highlight because we're on a hot streak right now with our morning routine course and selling the lights out of it and helping so many people, helping so many busy parents and entrepreneurs and authors really get control of their life back in these crazy times. Then the tough question. Okay, the second, the penultimate, that's so the second to last, there's a word for that. It's penultimate. So there you go. Put down that you learned that word from Craig in your gratitude journal. The penultimate question is what I could have done better. And this is where the deep, difficult conversations go, because I might say I could have listened to you better at a certain time of day, Michelle. I could have been more patient. And then she'll say, yeah, you could have. And then I'll say, how can I do better next time? You know, maybe it's, you know, I shouldn't eat so much junk at dinner in case we ordered a bad meal, which we rarely do, but sometimes we do, usually Friday nights. And it's just, where could I have been better? Could I have listened to a team member more? And even though just writing that down doesn't fix things, it brings your awareness to where you can do better in life. And once you know, once you've done some self-reflection and introspection on where you can be better in life, then you can go and set about a course to making those corrections. Most people don't think about where they can be better in life. There's no self-reflection or introspection. And they go through and they don't make the association between why they're tired at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the fact that they eat fast food every day at 1 o'clock, or they're not making the association between they're really irritated at 4 o'clock in the afternoon because they skipped lunch and they had a coffee instead. Well, I'll tell you what, that doesn't take a rocket surgeon to figure out why you're feeling that way. But only through self-reflection and introspection can anybody connect the dots. And that question is there to help us do that. And then finally, there's a little section there for final thoughts of the day. And you just put in, you know, did I miss everything? You know, was there another mantra I would put in? I you know, here's another answer I gave there. Better every day, the end. Better every day. Better, not bitter, every single day. So I've gone through my gratitude journal, and I've gone through this gratitude journal we picked up at a dollar store kind of place. And those prompts are so helpful. Because if you don't have the prompts there, it's tough. Like you go, I'm grateful for being alive today. And then you kind of run out of things to say. But those prompts are really helpful for you to dig deeper. And I remember when I started my gratitude journaling, one of the things that really stood out to me was that I just have a simple, easy life. You know, my father was a farmer. His hands were always cracked from the cold. And, you know, he was burnt in the summertime from being out in the sun. And, you know, he had some hardships growing up that I didn't have, even though I had, you know, my fair share of some tough times. And I'm just grateful, like, how easy is my life that I get to sit behind a microphone and talk to thousands and thousands of people, including you, and share some wisdom from the hardships that I went through so that you don't go through them. And then I have a course that people pay me money on how to, you know, actually just figure out their mornings, something that comes so simple to me. You know, morning routines, I am just like, I'm a world champion at it. And people will ask me for advice and pay me for this course that shows them how to triple their productivity. It's like, could you get a better life than this, right? Like even a rock star, has to go out on stage every night, has to travel around the world. Like now is not a great time to be a rock star. You know, like that's how crazy this world is. Like, being a rock star, like rock stars are losing money this year. And here I am able to continue to help other people. Not only do we get paid in compliments. We get paid in life-changing success stories. I had a success story from a physiotherapist the other day, you know, said unequivocally that some of, you know, her success has been due to what I've been able to help her do in her morning routine. You know, she's stopped doing the meditation first, still does it later, but she's having amazing results in her business and she has more control over her life and her stress is down simply because I helped her fix her morning routine. What a world. What a world. If only the rest of the people could get it, you know, some of the politicians could get it together and let us go and live our lives. So anyways, I'm not going to rant about politics. I should be quiet about that because I'm definitely not an expert there. I'm an expert in morning routines. So now, what I want to move on to after gratitude journals is talk about that 11 out of 10 t-shirt that you see me wearing. What the heck does that mean? 11 out of 10. Can you not do math, Mr. Ballantyne? And I can do math. So the story goes like this. I have hundreds of coaching clients, and on the weekends, they send me a weekly update, and they say, on a scale of 1 to 10, the very first question And you can even put this in your gratitude journal. On a scale of 1 to 10, how was last week? Now, people who are normal would say, okay, between 1 and 10, it's probably going to be a 6, 7, 8, or 9, right? It's never going to be a 10 out of 10. It can always be better. It's never going to be a 3 out of 10 because, oh my goodness, how bad would a week have to be in order for it to be a 3 out of 10? So it's going to be like 6, 7, 8, or 9. Those are most people. That's how I would probably be. Then we have people who, no matter what has happened, are never lower than an 11 out of 10. They're 15 out of 10. They're 19 out of 10. One guy was 45 out of 10 one week. I know it sounds ridiculous to a lot of people. Maybe to you, you're like, yeah, I'm a 53 out of 10. And I like that because I know that if they're an 11 out of 10 or 15 or 12 out of 10, that it's been a rough week. And so I can accurately gauge, even though they're crazy answers, I can accurately gauge where they are. And then there's a third group of people. And that third group of people is normally like a 6, 7, 8, or 9. But when one bad thing happens, they're a 1 out of 10. And they hit the panic button. And those people I'm concerned about. Because if they're a 1 out of 10 because they got some refunds, or they're a 1 out of 10 because, you know, clients quit, or a team member quit, or, you know, something, you know, they had to close for 2 weeks because of COVID. If that makes them a 1 out of 10, then I know that they're not resilient. They're not relentless. They're not unstoppable. And you got to worry about those people because those are the people that are going to break. And they might stop being a coaching client, or they might hit the panic button and give in. And I can't let that happen. So I realized after seeing that there's three types of people, that everyone needs to be an 11 out of 10. That needed to be my new baseline, because I'm kind of a skeptical, cynical guy sometimes. And I might say, yeah, you know, today sucked, 5 out of 10. But that's just a bad attitude. And I just want sympathy or something. And instead, I need to be an 11 out of 10 every single day. How you doing today? 11 out of 10. 11 out of 10. Loving it. Yeah, but you're all wet and cold. You know, you forgot to take your jacket to the dog park and it poured rain on you. 11 out of 10. I'm doing great. Doing great. Yeah, but then that guy dropped a cinder block on your foot and you don't have steel toe boots on. 11 out of 10. Totally loving it. 11 out of 10. Grateful persistence. So if you were to put two words on 11 out of 10, it would be grateful persistence. It's like how Phil Knight, when he was starting Nike, he went 18 years before he really made any money. 18 years. Everybody sees the billions today, but it took him 18 years to really get traction in that business. 18 years. Today, people think if they're not, you know, doing 100K a month in 18 days, they're going to give up and go to another industry. 18 years. That's grateful persistence. 18 years. Grateful persistence is running a marathon. That's grateful persistence. You know, David Goggins would be behind 11 out of 10. He had grateful persistence. So whatever you're going through, be happy that you get to go through it. Be happy you get to go through it, because what's your other option? Not being here to go through it. So no matter what, no matter what, as the Dalai Lama says, be optimistic. It just feels better. But also, gratitude's the name of the game. What else can you be? What else can you do? You can't quit because you're here and you got grateful persistence. So my friend, that's what we talk about with the 11 out of 10. Now, I want to talk a little bit about generosity. We're going to switch into generosity and giving back for this time of year. One thing that I've learned about, and I'm very frustrated by those people who demonize wealth, because a lot of people have earned wealth by providing great value to the world, like Mr. Phil Knight. There's very few people listening to this podcast who have never owned a pair of Nikes. And you bought Nikes out of voluntary choice because you thought of all the things you could spend your money on and all the shoes that you could buy, that these were the ones for you. So how can we begrudge that man, that company, success and the money they've made if we voluntarily chosen to give them that money? So wealthy people are not to be demonized. Now, there are some people who've kind of gotten their wealth in bad ways. Of course, there's criminals. Of course, there's people who, you know, have gotten their wealth in ways that I don't love as, you know, as people who are not entrepreneurs. We're going to forget about them. We're going to talk about wealthy entrepreneurs, because of all the people I've met in my life, and I have met, you know, at events and through my businesses, there's no way I haven't shook hands with over 5,000 people. No, 5,000 strangers, 5,000 people who didn't grow up in my hometown. Minimum 5,000 people. And of all those people, those who are most generous are the wealthiest people. My friends like Matt Smith, who's my business partner here at Early to Rise. This guy, Porter Stansberry, who runs Stansberry Research. Joel Marion. Joel Marion used to have parties in his backyard for 100 people. 100 people, catering, all this stuff. You know, he must have spent $50,000 to $100,000 on these Super Bowl parties that he had. All for his friends. Generous, generous, generous people. Matt was the one who got us started doing the Toys for Tots charity drive in Denver, Colorado. Toys for Tots is a charity started by the Marine Corps. And the Marine Corps will take your toys and give them to community centers that dish them out to needy, underprivileged children who do not have a toy on Christmas. And so we, a bunch of entrepreneurs, got together for 6 years in a row, and we spent over $750,000 in those 6 years, maybe closer to 900. I don't think we broke a million, because I'd be telling you about it if we did. We spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to try and add some joy into people's lives. And then I know that all those people at that thing were also giving money to other causes. I've given to my mom's church. Shriners is probably my go-to charity these days, because Bedros wants to be the biggest source of donations to Shriners. He's chasing down Justin Timberlake. And so, you know, you've got your causes, community and global. And I just, you know, I'm grateful that you are generous to those people that need a hand up. And I encourage you to go and create more wealth so that you can go and give more hands up. Live in an abundant life and lift others up. Now, if you don't have money, what can you give? Well, time, energy, and opportunity. So these days, one of the areas that I'm giving away the most is in apprenticeships. So I will post on my social media all the time and say, hey, I'm looking for apprentices in my business. And people can apply. And what I do is I send them free courses. And from there, I give them an opportunity to send me their work, copywriting, Facebook ads, web design. I say, hey, listen, if you got some work, send it over. I'll take a look at it. Maybe I'll actually give you some work. Because I know that if I have hundreds and hundreds of, you know, quote unquote apprentices, then I can introduce them to my clients who need video editors or copywriters. And this is an opportunity for everybody to be win-win-win situations. Actually, it'd be four wins. I would win, because I'd feel good. The apprentice would win. My client would win. And then the customers would win. Everybody wins when you can give opportunity. So that's what I'm doing and trying to give back in many, many ways. I'm giving away free copies of my book, Unstoppable, you know, the digital versions. We give away a digital copy of Perfect Day Formula. We sell at a very modest price my books, you know, $9.95. I guess that's not that modest. You can pretty much get books on Amazon. Maybe I'm not that great of a person. Just kidding. I'm great. But, you know, I'm trying to get my books in the hands of as many people as possible. It's my life's work in those books. And I want to help people and guide them through some of the toughest things in the world, such as anxiety, such as not being able to get things done and have more time with their family. You know, those are some of the toughest mental things in the world. And I want them to help. Now, listen, if you haven't read Unstoppable, I'm going to reread the final chapter. It includes a quote from one of my favorite, not from my favorite movies, but one of the most surprising movies I've watched in the last few years. And it's got a little shout out to the old Bally the Dog. And if you've been around my world for many years, you know how important Bally the Dog was for me. He was like my therapist for 12 years, helped me get over anxiety, helped me become a better person. He taught me how to love. He taught me how to be more high energy. Man, he just taught me so much. And so if you've read Unstoppable. Here's an encore presentation of the final chapter. If you haven't, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it inspires you to give back, to be more grateful, to always be optimistic, and to have that grateful persistence through every obstacle in your life. So the final chapter of Unstoppable is called Giving Back. And it starts off with a quote from this Marvel superhero movie called Doctor Strange. I thought it was like, why am I, I'm not going to like Doctor Strange. But I was coming back from Spain one year and I watched it. And when I was watching it, I was like, oh my God, I actually have to go and find the transcript of, the screenplay of this movie and get a quote from it. Because there's this character called the Ancient One. And she's having this conversation with Doctor Strange, who has superhero powers but isn't using them properly. And she says to him, your fear of failure is precisely what kept you from greatness. Arrogance and fear still keep you from learning the simplest and most significant lesson of all. Dr. Strange says, which is? And the Ancient One says, it's not about you. You have the choice to serve something greater than yourself. It's not about you. You have the choice to serve something greater than yourself. And Dr. Strange says, I'm not ready. The Ancient One replies, no one ever is. We don't get to choose our time. Death is what gives life meaning. To know your days are numbered, your time is short. I couldn't believe that was in a Marvel superhero movie. I thought it was like some, you know, I was watching some type of personal development seminar and all of a sudden the Ancient One was going to rip off their mask and it was Tony Robbins or something. So it was really powerful. I really loved it. And I hope that my dramatic flair there really helped you. So the chapter goes on, and this is where I start writing. As I finished this book, my 12-year-old pup, Bally, took a turn for the worst. It seemed like he had aged 15 years in the last 4 weeks. He lost so much strength that he couldn't stand up on the slippery hardwood floor. I had to put my hands under his belly to aid him as he walked across the kitchen, and then I had to lift his hips as he walked over the half step in the doorway to get outside. It was time for me to support him, just as he supported me all those years ago. It seemed like just yesterday he was jumping on my bed, begging to sleep with Dad, or wanting to go out exploring and chasing rabbits for hours a day. Now he didn't move, didn't bark, and was barely eating. I didn't know what to do, and it was the not knowing that drove me mad. How much pain was he in? How much longer? How do you make that awful decision? I wanted to yell, I wanted to cry, and I did. This wasn't how this book was supposed to end, but everything must. And so we went outside one last time, and he sat down in the backyard, and he surveyed his kingdom. It was where he had barked and sniffed as a young, strong dog, and where he spent hours lying in the fresh-cut grass. He put his nose up one more time, chasing a scent, and I caught a glimpse of that old dog wanting to get up and run. But he couldn't. And so he looked at me, and I knew he was ready to go. It was harder than I thought it would be. It was 10 times harder. You see, it's not just the dog. It's everything you had wrapped up in and connected to and invested in the dog. The last 12 years of my life, from the anxiety attacks all the way to this book about overcoming anxiety attacks, everything I had done in between, and maybe more importantly, everything I hadn't done. The promise, the growth, the failures, the evolution. A dog does so much for you, and this little guy had changed the world for me. He came into my life at the lowest point and proceeded to turn my world around. He taught me how to love unconditionally, to have more energy and enthusiasm for life, to welcome people with open arms, to get out of my head and give, and to be happy being me. It sounds so silly, but I was so proud of that dog, of his ability to lick an almond butter jar spotless with his long tongue, of how he entered a room so excited, whipping his tail so violently it knocked everything down in its path, of how he chased deer through the fields without a hope in hell of catching them, but with this insane belief that he could. I loved his stinky breath and his goofy, slightly embarrassed look when he squatted to poop on the neighbor's lawn, as if he knew he was caught in the act. I loved our morning ritual of having him climb on my stomach and lay his head on my chest, one that we started when he was a puppy and kept going until just a few days ago. All of these things brought me joy and got me out of my own head, reducing my anxiety, making me grateful, and giving me a greater perspective on life. He was every lesson in this book packaged up into a giant ball of fur. Bally the dog who never played fetch, the dog who gave every ounce of love that he had, the dog who showed me how to live, the dog who showed me how to give, the one, the only, Bally the dog. You were just what I needed. But life goes on. Epictetus, a Stoic philosopher, said this to help us cope. Suppose that our servant breaks a cup. We are likely to get angry and have our tranquility disrupted by the incident. One way to avert this anger is to think about how we would feel if this incident had happened to someone else instead. If we were at someone's house and his servant broke a cup, we would unlikely get angry. Indeed, we might try to calm our host by saying, "It's just a cup. These things happen." It is to say, what would you say to a friend going through the same struggle? With your outside eyes, what advice would you give? Take then that advice and apply it to you. Life goes on. New puppies are born, children get a day older, sales must be made, books have to be written. It doesn't mean I wrote that with a heavy heart, but I also realize that many people are going through much worse than I am right now, and they are persisting and never quitting as they travel on their own hero's journey. This knowledge and the Stoic perspective doesn't make me grieve less, but it reminds me to get out of my own head, and that is a big part of healing from anxiety, from loss. It's to do other things for others that matter to them. That's why I appreciate the opportunity to pour my energy into you and help you overcome your struggles. A few days before our final trip to the vet, a client asked, "Craig, do you ever feel like when something goes wrong, your mood changes and it's hard to get out of it?" Of course, we've all had that struggle. It was very bad when my anxiety was at its worst. My wheels would spin, my mind would race, and minor problems would turn into major matters that would practically paralyze my decision-making. But no more. Today, when challenged, I am guided by my personal motto, the mantra of this book, and the one line above all you must take away. Action beats anxiety, motion beats meditation, work beats worry. We all have rough days. We all go through tough times. Bad things happen to good people. It is inevitable. But what I realized, thanks to Bally the dog, is that the best way out of trouble is to give, to get out of your own head, to look past your own troubles, and to focus on solving other people's problems. It's not about you. When you finally get that, when you understand that life is not about you and the money you make, the cars you drive, or the home you live in, and realize that it's only about the people you help, the service you give, and the lives you transform, then everything, and I mean everything, about your perspective and life changes for the better. When you are anxious and overwhelmed, two pathways lie before you. You can get caught in your own head, letting your wheels spin and your anxiety engine rev, or you can direct your energy outward. You can feel bad, get overwhelmed, let life get chaotic, and allow anxiety and tension to build up. Or you can use the exercises in this book to get aligned with your core values, to get clarity on your vision and to structure your life and your days around what really matters. If you're struggling, which we all do, that's okay, but it's time to get back on track one step at a time. When you are down, give. When you struggle, give. When you are selfish, give. When you have doubt, go and give. When you're anxious and thinking about something over and over again, get out of your own head and give. Stop sitting and stewing. Get out there and start doing. Action beats anxiety. Motion beats meditation. And work beats worry. You've got this. I believe in you. All right, my friend. That's the final chapter of Unstoppable. A little longer than I remembered it to be. But I want you to go and get that book. Okay? If you want the exercises in that book, if you need to overcome anxiety, if you need to learn how to be more generous and change your mindset, go get that book. It's changed so many people's lives. And you can grab a physical copy at beunstoppablebook.com or the digital copies at craiglikes.me/unstoppable. And if you want to be like my very generous clients, Bedros Koulian, Matt Smith, and Joel Marion, you know, one of the other things that they have all in common is that they've come and gotten personal coaching from me to grow their business, to get more done, and to continue to have grateful persistence through obstacles that have come their way. And if you want to be one of my future success stories like them, then go to craigballantyne.com/apply. And I look forward to working with you soon. I'll be grateful for it. Until then, be optimistic. It just feels better.